We'll commence our service of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 44 in your hymn book, the hymn number 44 in the page 193. Mighty God, while angels bless thee, may immortals sing thy name, Lord of men as well as angels, thou art every creature's theme. The hymn number 44 in the page 193, we'll stand as we sing. Hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we do rejoice afresh, O God, today in thy goodness and in thy mercy, O God, that finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise thee and to worship thee. And Father, we come to thee today in the Savior's name. We thank thee for one who loved us, one who has given himself for us as our Redeemer upon the cross. The one who has shed his precious blood and poured out his life unto death, even the death of the cross. And we rejoice, O God, today in the finished work of Christ, our Redeemer. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the precious blood that Christ shed upon that middle tree of Calvary. And Father, we thank thee that there upon that cross he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And O God, we thank thee and we praise thee, O God, our Father, that with his stripes we are healed. We thank thee for that healing virtue, that healing balm in the precious blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin, to make us meet for heaven, and to bring us nigh to God. And O God, our Father, as we come before thee this Sabbath morning, we pray for the blessing of God, the triune God of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to rest and abide upon our seasons of worship today. We realize, Lord, that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray from this opening hymn to the last amen that we might know a very gracious, conscious sense of the presence and the nearness of the Lord. And Father, we thank that thou hast promised that where thy people meet together in thy name, there as thou said, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we pray that thou would tabernacle amongst us today, that we might go home rejoicing, Lord, that we've met with thee, that we've heard the voice of God, that we've heard that voice saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. We thank thee for all have been able to come to thy house today. We pray that thou would bless every head bowed before thee, O God. We pray that thou wilt strengthen and bless the saints of God. Lead thy people on with thyself, O God, into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thee. Help us to die to self and to sin. Help us to be conformed more and more unto the image of Christ. And help us, Lord, to live to the praise of thy glory day by day, that others would take note that we've been to Jesus, but we belong, O God, to thee. For any, Lord, gone through times of testing and trial, strengthen them, O God. We thank that thou art one that sympathizes with us in all our needs and all our cares, and that we can cast every care and every burden upon the Lord, and that thy grace is sufficient for our every need, O God, we praise thee. And Lord, for any that are maybe are cold at heart today, give that restoring touch. And any with us, Lord, not saved out of Christ, do speak to them today. May they realize, O God, their great need of salvation, and that, oh, that today they would come in faith and in repentance and trust the Lord as their Savior and as their Redeemer. We thank thee for our Sabbath school and Bible class this morning, and bless your word to every boy and girl and every young person, and do bless them and lead them on with God, we do pray. And Father, we do pray, O God, for thy hand of blessing upon the children's work here. The Lord, as it will continue week by week, may thy hand be upon it, O God, for good amongst the boys and the girls. And Lord, remember every outreach that goes forth from our pulpit and from our congregation, we pray. We pray that thou would use it, Lord, to the extension of thy kingdom in this community and further, Lord, afield. Remember, Lord, those unable to join with us today because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to them by the grace and by the power of God, that thy hand, O God, would be upon them for good. And others who mourn and grieve, we pray that thou wilt comfort their hearts, and that thou wilt fill the vacant chair with the presence and with the nearness of the Lord. Bless our land, O God, today. Remember all our sister congregations. We thank thee, Lord, for every minister and student and layman who will minister thy word today. May they know thy hand of blessing upon them. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt build thy church, that thou wilt extend thy kingdom, and that thou wilt turn the hearts of many, even in these days in which we live, unto the Lord, O God, we pray. And do remember, O God, the mission there as it would continue in Dungannon. Bless your servants there. Remember again the seed sown in Springfield, Lord. We pray there'll be much fruit from this in the days that lie ahead. And other missions on at this time, we pray. Bless every faithful effort in the gospel, and use it, Lord, for the glory of thy name, O God, we ask. Bless, O God, today our missionaries that labor for thee at home and abroad. We thank thee for each one. We pray that you would bless them and encourage them greatly in the Lord, we pray of thee. And we pray that thou wilt give them health and strength and give them favor with the people among whom they labor, we pray. And that they will see the cause of the gospel go forward, we pray. Remember our own land and nation here. We do pray, Lord, for days of reformation, and that even those that rule in our land, that they might rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with thy word. And Lord, those that would seek to proclaim or Lord, promote laws contrary to thy word and to thy ways, do bring their plans, O God, to nothing, we ask of thee. We pray for our royal family as well. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. And we pray the light of the truth of the gospel will shine into that household, that thou wilt save them. And Lord, we pray that they would know what it is and to be guided by the word of the Lord. Again, we thank thee for the Trinitarian Bible Society and our brother who was with us on Tuesday night past. And do bless this organization, meet its every need. And Lord, as it would seek to spread thy word across the nations of the globe, that thou would use them and bless them to advance thy cause and thy kingdom, we pray. Abide with us now, we ask of thee. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Do every heart good and glorify our Savior's name. And all that will be said and done in this house today, we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 431. The hymn number 431, Guide thee, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. 431, we'll stand as we sing. With you this morning, would ask you to turn, please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 47, beginning a reading at the verse number 11 of the chapter. Genesis chapter 47, beginning a reading at the verse number 11. Let us hear God's word as we hear and read His word together this morning. Genesis 47 and the verse number 11. Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread, according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore. So the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Canaan, and in the land of Egypt, in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians gave unto Joseph and said, Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth? Joseph said, Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses, and he fed them with bread, and for all the cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord, but our bodies and our hands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land, buy us and our land for bread? We and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. Joseph brought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt, even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for the food for your little ones. Then they said, Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 27, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his precious and eternal word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone to God's house this Sabbath morning. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. We pray the Lord will richly bless you around God's word. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened in your walk with God. And if you're here today and you're not saved, oh, that today you'd come as a sinner unto Christ and put your faith and trust in him whom alone can save your soul and take you to heaven. If you're visiting with us, we send you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. And to those who may be viewing online as well today, we pray the Lord will draw near to you and that you'll know his speaking voice through his word in your heart and in your soul today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do please remember the evening prayer meeting at 6:30. We'd encourage as many as possible of the Lord's people to gather for prayer. And then the gospel service at 7 p.m. We'll be along to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. We'll be long to take that meeting. We encourage as many as possible to gather for prayer. How important it is that we come to seek the Lord and call upon his name for his work here and further afield. Do remember, please, the children's meetings as they continue this week. Each night at 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Thursday night, McGuire's Bridge, Friday night in Bethel. Friday night, 8 p.m., the youth fellowship meeting. Our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be bringing God's word. We encourage as many as possible of the youth to gather for that time of fellowship on Friday night. Also, this coming Friday night at 8 p.m. is our monthly presbytery meeting brought forward due to the Easter weekend. And that will be this coming Friday night, 8 p.m. in our Market Hill Church. We'd ask the brethren to remember that also, please. Next Lord's Day, the 2nd of April, Sabbath School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We'll be long to bring God's word. And then immediately after the morning meeting, next Lord's Day is the communion time around the Lord's table. And that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as your Savior, the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. Also being the first Sunday of the month is building fund offering, and the offering for the month of March came to £720, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Monday night, the 3rd of April, here in the church, will be the ladies' fellowship meeting. It's normally the second Monday of the night, but due to the Easter weekend, it's brought forward a week, so do take note of that, ladies. That's Monday night, the 3rd of April, is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting here, and the speaker will be our sister, Mrs. Elaine Power. So do pray for that, and do come along and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word on that evening. Thursday night, the 6th of April at 8 p.m. here in the church, there'll be a meeting of the church committee. We'll ask the brethren of the committee just to remember that also. Tomorrow night, that's the 27th of March, 8 p.m., in Corrig House Hotel, the Christian Institute, are having a meeting. All are welcome. I encourage you, if you're free, go along, and there's invites and literature regarding that out there on the table on the porch. Do remember the Easter Convention meetings and the Martyrs Memorial Church. Good Friday night, the 7th of April, 8 p.m., the youth rally. Our youth fellowship are hoping to go up, and there's a bus led on for that. If any young people wishing to go by bus, put your name out there on the sheet in the vestibule as soon as possible. On Easter Saturday night, there's the missionary rally at 7:30 on the 8th. And then the Easter Monday night, that's the 10th at 7 p.m., there's the final service of the convention. And the moderator there will be preaching. There will be various speakers and missionaries from around the world taking part. So pray for those meetings. And if at all possible, do go along and support them. The offering for the work of Trinitarian Bible Society came to £600, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And do please also pray for the ongoing mission there at Park Noor. Mr. Colin Maxwell and Mr. Noel Shields are involved in this second week. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 569. 569. We don't take up an offering during the service, but do please remember the offering plates as you leave at the rear there, but we'll keep our seats for the early part, singing of this hymn. O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be, thy blessed rock of ages I'm hiding in thee. 569, keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
turn to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 47. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come afresh now to Thy Word and to Thy truth. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us already, the singing of Your praises, the reading of Thy Word. But Lord, now as we come to consider Thy Word, Lord, open up our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Bless Thy Word and bless Thy truth and apply Thy Word and Thy truth savingly and powerfully and effectually to every heart and soul in this meeting as Thou would see the need. Hide man far behind the cross. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Give help and enablement, Lord, to preach Your Word and have Thy way in every heart and life, we pray. Bless the saints of God. Save those that are still lost in sin. Bring glory and honor unto Thy name. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Amen. Our text for today is verse number 11 and 12 of Genesis chapter 47. We'll read those two verses with you. It says, "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread, according to their families." In the life of God's servant and God's child, Joseph, we see many wonderful pictures and portraits and types of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Indeed, if we think of Jacob's love for his son Joseph, there we are reminded of God the Father's love for his son Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. If we think of Joseph's rejection by his brothers and his selling into slavery for 20 pieces of silver, there we are reminded of Christ's rejection by men. The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Not only his rejection by men, but also his betrayal by Judas Iscariot for 30 pieces of silver. If we think also of Joseph's godly character, there is in that a pointer to Christ. Christ himself who was impeccable. Christ who did no sin. Christ who could do no sin. And then whenever we think of the brothers bowing down to Joseph in Egypt, that surely highlights to us the fact that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth in power and in great glory, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in our text here today in Genesis chapter 47, verses 11 and 12, we see Joseph's shepherdly care for his family. And in that we are directed to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the wonderful shepherd, the tender shepherd of his people. Yes, throughout the Scriptures, Christ is often depicted to us as a shepherd. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 11, he says there, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And there in that verse, Christ speaks of his own sacrifice and death and bloodshedding upon the cross of Calvary for the salvation of sinners. And it is by that sacrifice, that once for all sacrifice for sin, that men and women and young people and boys and girls can be saved. Saved from their sin. Saved from a lost eternity in hell and made right with God. That is why Christ came and why Christ died upon the cross. The Bible says he died the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Friend, in the meeting this morning, let me say this, if you're not saved, there's only one way that you can be saved, only one way that you can be reconciled with God, right with God, know your sins forgiven, and be sure of a place in heaven and be delivered from the wrath to come. And that is by you now in time coming to Christ as a repentant sinner,
The Bible says, repent ye and believe the gospel, and coming to Christ, confess your sins to Him and trust in Him and rest in His atoning blood alone to wash away your sins. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There is no other way of salvation than by you putting your faith, putting your trust in Christ the Good Shepherd for your salvation. Let me ask you the question today, what are you depending upon for heaven? What are you depending upon today for the forgiveness of your sins and a right relationship with God? If you're depending on your good works, depending on your church, this church or any other church, if you're depending upon your baptism, your dedication, your confirmation, you're depending upon a broken stick that can do nothing for your soul as far as salvation is concerned. You see, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If you are to be saved, you need to come as a sinner to Christ, just as you are, poor and needy, and put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. There's nothing else will do when you come to die. There's nothing else will do when you come to leave this world. There's nothing else will do when you stand before God, the judge of all ages. And for you to be saved, born again of the Spirit of God, washed and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Christ is the Good Shepherd. Oh, I trust and pray. He's your shepherd today. He is your Savior. But not only is He known in Scripture as the Good Shepherd, He is also referred to as the Great Shepherd. He is also referred to and spoken of as the Chief Shepherd. And if we turn in our Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse number 11, here you see Him depicted as the tender shepherd of His people. In Isaiah 40 and the verse number 11, Isaiah is speaking about the Lord. And He says, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And the picture is there of Christ, the tender shepherd of His people, as that is how He's often described. And many of the great hymns that we often love to sing, the hymn writer says, Jesus, tender shepherd, be near me. And people, that is how we find the Lord depicted for us. Even in our text this morning here in Genesis 47, verses 11 and 12, when we view Joseph's tender care of his own family down in Egypt, it says in our text, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren, gave them a possession in the land of Egypt and the best of the land. In the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And as we would look then at these words in this light, I want us today to consider from these words a wonderful picture of Christ, the tender shepherd of His people. You'll notice first of all here with me today that as the tender shepherd of the people, of His people, we see how the Lord is one who leads His people. He leads His people. Look at the beginning there of verse number 11 of Genesis chapter 47. It says, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. I want you to notice in particular that word placed there. It says, Joseph placed his father and his brethren in the land of Egypt. And in the original language of the Old Testament, that word really speaks to us of how Joseph led and guided and directed his family down to Egypt to be with them at this particular time. And in that we are reminded, we have a picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ, the tender shepherd, He guides, He leads, He directs His people along the journey of life. Over in the book of the Psalms, in the Psalm number 78, there we read of the Lord's guiding and direction in the life of His ancient people to the promised land of Canaan.
And in Psalm number 78, verses 52 and verses 53, we read these words. It says, "But he made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not." And there you have the record of God leading, guiding, and directing his people. And child of God, get a hold of this truth in your heart today. As your shepherd, the Lord has promised to guide you as his child in life's journey. You think of the great promise of the Lord in Psalm 32, verse 8. He says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And that speaks to you and I there of divine guidance in our life. Guidance that is personal. Guidance that is specific. Guidance that is accurate. In other words, when the Lord guides, there are never any mistakes. You see, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. My testifying of the Lord's guidance in our own life, the hymn writer could say, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who true life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." And Christian, remember that today as the Lord leads and guides in your life. Jesus doeth all things well. Yes, believer, when the Lord leads you, it is always in the way that is best for you as his child. You look again at what you read about Joseph and his family there in Genesis 47, verse number 11. Notice carefully what it says there in that verse 11. It says, "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren," notice it, "in the best of the land," in the land of Ramesses. And this was the region also known as Goshen. And in Egypt at that time, this was the best part of the country, the best part of the land. The land here was rich. It was fertile. It was well watered by the River Nile. It was a goodly land. It was a goodly portion for Jacob and his household and family at that time. You see, when God guides and directs, his way is always the best. And believer, remember that today. The Bible says, "As for God, his way is perfect." David in Psalm 23 spoke of the Lord and says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." King Solomon, speaking of the Lord's guidance and leading in the lives of his people in Proverbs 3, describes it as the way of pleasantness and the way of peace. That's how it is when the Lord leads and guides. It's a way of pleasantness. It's a way of peace. Tell me, child of God, how is it with you today? As you sit in our meeting here today, are you walking in the ways of the Lord? Are you walking with the Lord along life's journey, knowing his guidance, his leading, his direction in your life day by day? Yes, can you say today with Abraham's servant of old, "I being in the way that the Lord led me or guided me"? Oh, people, if you and I are to know the Lord's guidance in our life as Christians, then we must ever be submissive to the Lord, yielded to the Lord and to his will for his life. This is vital. In walking with God and knowing the ways and direction of God, that we are yielded, submissive to the Lord. That is how it was with Christ himself when he was here on earth. Turn in your Bible over to Luke's Gospel chapter 22. Luke's Gospel chapter 22. And he of Christ praying in Gethsemane before he goes to the cross. And see his willingness, his yieldedness to God the Father, to the Father's will for him. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Here he is before the Lord in prayer, his Father, and he says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Notice that Christ was ever resigned to the Father's will. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And people, that is vital. Believer, if you and I are to walk with God, be guided by God, that we are ever yielded to the Lord. The Bible says we're not to be like the horse or the mule that is stubborn, seeking to go our own way, do our own thing. We are to be yielded to the Lord, also to know God's guidance. We must be obedient to the Word of God, to what God says and what He tells us in His Word. Think of the words of Christ. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then as believers, we must ever pray and seek God and ask the Lord to lead us, guide us, and direct us along life's journey. Remember how David prayed in Psalm 25, verse 4, he said, "Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Yes, as the tender shepherd, the Lord is one who leads his people. Child of God, is that the desire, the burden of your heart today, to be led and guided by the Lord? It's the best way, the way of peace, the way of pleasantness, the way of blessing. Yes, as the shepherd, he leads his people. But secondly, this morning, we notice something else here about Christ, the tender shepherd of his people, and it is this, that he is one who provides for his people. He provides for his needs of his people. And you see a wonderful picture of that in verse 12 there of Genesis chapter 47. Look at what the verse says of Joseph and his family and his father. It says, And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Notice that word nourish in particular. That word nourish there literally means to provide. It means also to sustain. Notice again the reference there to all his father's household. And here we see that all Joseph's family at this time were provided for in a time of great need, a time of great dearth, a time of great famine. None was left out. None was left wanting. If you go back to Genesis chapter 45 and the verse number 11, you'll see here that Joseph had promised to do this in the family coming down to Egypt. In verse number 11 of Genesis 45, he says, "And there will I nourish thee." Again, the thought was he was promising to provide for them and to sustain them. And that is what he does. He keeps his word. He keeps his promise here in chapter 47. And it says in verse 12, "And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread." He met their needs at that particular time. And dear people of God, in all of this, do we not see a wonderful picture of how the Lord provides for his people? He provides for his sheep, his redeemed, his flock. One of the glorious titles given to the Lord in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14 is this: it is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or if you like, the Lord will see to it. And that's the Lord's title. That's one of the great attributes of God. He provides for his people. And all through the scriptures, we have many, many examples of this, of the Lord providing for his people in their time of need and their time of extremity. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Kings and chapter number 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, and you go down to verse 9 and verse 16 of that chapter. Here you have the Lord telling Elijah at a time, another time of great famine, to go to Zarephath. And there, through a widow woman, God would provide his needs at that time of great dearth. And look at what it says in verse 9 and verse 16 of 1 Kings chapter 17. It says, here the Lord is speaking to Elijah. He says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And he arose and went to Zarephath. Go down to verse 16. Notice what it says. "And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord." There you see how God met the need. God provided for his child, Elijah, and the widow woman, and the child at that particular time. God met the need. God provided. You see, God is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Again, believer, think of that wonderful promise that Paul gave to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 in the verse number 19. Speaking to God's people, he said these tremendous words. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And the promise was there that God would provide and meet their every need. He says, "My God will supply all your need." What a portion from the Lord to his people. Think of the testimony of David in Psalm 37, verse 25. He says, "I have been young, now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread." Again, David was testifying of the Lord meeting the needs of his people. And dear people, with countless examples of this in the Scriptures, countless examples of this in church history, and in the life and the experiences of God's people along life's journey, God is one who provides. He's the tender shepherd who provides for his people. He provides our temporal needs. And most importantly of all, he provides our spiritual needs. Think of what Paul said to the believers in Ephesus. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Remember God's promise to Paul himself at his time of need. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Whenever James Bennett sent Henry Stanley to search for David Livingstone in the depths of the continent of Africa, his promise to him was this. He says, "Draw on me for each day's supply." In other words, I will meet your needs as you go on this journey to look for David Livingstone. And likewise, dear people of God, daily we can look to the Lord. We can depend upon the Lord to meet our needs. Think of what the Lord tells us in the Lord's Prayer. "Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread." The thought is there of God's provision on a day-to-day basis. The Bible says, "As our days, so shall our strength be." What a wonderful promise, the promise of the Lord's provision. And dear child of God, as you seek to live for the Lord and obey the Lord and follow the Lord and put the Lord first in your life day by day, you can depend upon the Lord and seek the Lord to meet your needs as you go along life's journey. Turn with me, please, in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. And I'm sure you're familiar with this account at the end of the chapter. The Lord had called his disciples. He had saved them. He had given them a work to do, and they were concerned. They were fearful. They were fretting about the future, about their needs being met. And God gave them a wonderful promise. He told them that he knew all about their needs. He told them how the Father in heaven knows even the very hairs on their head. They are numbered by God. And look at verse 33 and verse 34 at the end of the chapter. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And there the Lord was giving them that wonderful promise, how he would provide, and how he would meet their need day by day. And dear people, the Lord has not changed. He changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as he was in the day of Joseph, as he was in the day of the disciples, as he was in the day of the Apostle Paul. So he is the same today. And dear believer, you can trust him, depend upon him as you seek to live your Christian life and walk with God, do his will, serve him, put him first. And you can depend upon the Lord to meet your needs day by day. Yes, as the tender shepherd, the Lord is one who leads his people. The Lord is one also who provides for his people. But notice one final thought here from our text today. As the tender shepherd, the Lord is one who protects and secures his people. He protects and he secures his people. Regarding Joseph's care of his family there, notice what it says in Genesis chapter 47 and the verse number 11. It says of Joseph, it says, "He gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. Note those words, he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt. And that really means that while Joseph was alive and with them in Egypt, the family's protection and the family's security in Egypt was secure, it was guaranteed, just as if they were citizens of that land themselves. And that is how it was. Look at verse 27, further on down the chapter. It says, of Israel and Jacob, Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. It was all a testimony to God's preserving and protecting and securing hand upon them at that particular time of great need, a time of great famine. Yet God preserved and protected his people and blessed them even down there in Egypt. And here we have a picture of how the Lord protects and he secures his people. And Christian, as you and I seek to obey the Lord and live for him in this life, we can depend upon his protection. His protection from harm, from danger, from evil, and from sin. In Genesis 15 and verse 1, the Lord says there to you, dear believer, I am thy shield. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, that verse speaks of the Lord as the rock. It says, he is the rock, and as a rock, he gives us shelter in the storms of life. The hymn writer was speaking of that very fact in the hymn that we sung there prior to our message. As the Lord is one who protects his people, and the Lord encourages us to pray for that protection in our life day by day. Think of the Lord's Prayer again. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 13. What is one of the petitions we're to pray as God's people day by day in our Christian life? It is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It speaks of the Lord's protecting hand upon us in this life, in this world. Yes, Christian, in this evil world, the Lord can keep you from all the snares and pitfalls of sin and temptation and the traps of Satan. The Lord can give protection, give deliverance, and keep us from the ways of the evil one. Turn in your Bible over to Psalm 32. Psalm number 32. And look with me, please, there at verse number 7. Look at the testimony of the psalmist. Psalm 32, verse number 7. The psalmist speaks of the Lord and says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That was David's testimony. He knew the Lord as his hiding place. He talks there of the Lord's preservation for trouble. He talks there about the Lord compassing him about with songs of deliverance. He knew the Lord's deliverance upon his life day by day. And just as this was David's portion, dear believer, in our meeting this morning, can I say this is your portion today in Christ? The Lord, dear believer, is your hiding place. Therefore, as you go about each day seeking to live for the Lord and do the will of God and serve the Lord, you can pray, dear believer, and ask the Lord to protect you, to keep you, to deliver you, to be your hiding place as his child in your going out and in your coming in. This title here, of the Lord being the hiding place of his people, it was the title, really, of the life story of Corrie ten Boom. Who was she? She was a young Christian girl living in Holland who survived the awful horrors of Nazi occupation during World War II. Following the sparing of her life during a bombing raid when the Germans were invading the land of Holland, her sister Betsy said these words to her. He says, there are no ifs in God's world. The center of his will is our safety. Indeed, later on in a Nazi a prisoner of war camp, Corrie ten Boom, she learned over and over and over again that marvelous truth that God's will is our hiding place. And child of God, it's the same for you this morning in this meeting, believer. God's will is your hiding place. The hymn writer talks about the sweet, beloved will of God, my anchor, rock, and fortress. And my, the Lord is your hiding place, child of God. Yes, in life the Lord protects us as his people. But he also keeps us secure in his hand, even unto eternal life, unto eternal glory. Turning your Bible over to John chapter 17. John's Gospel chapter 17. And this is a chapter really of great comfort to the people of God, to the believer, to the child of God. It was through the words of this chapter that John Knox came to Christ. And whenever John Knox was departing from the scene of time, he asked that this chapter be read to him as full of comfort and encouragement to the people of God of how the Lord saves and keeps his people. Look at verse number 12 of John's Gospel, chapter 17. Here's Christ praying to his heavenly Father, his great high priestly prayer. And he speaks of his people to God, his Father, in prayer. And he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. Notice the promise. And none of them is lost. Go down to verse 24 of the same chapter. Here again the Lord is praying to his Father. And he says about his people, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, that's a saved, redeemed people, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And there you have Christ praying that all his saved, redeemed people, he says, that they shall be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. In other words, that they may be with Christ in heaven, with Christ in glory. You see, God's salvation, dear people, is an eternal salvation. There's no such thing as a person being saved today and lost tomorrow. It's not the gospel of the Bible. It's not the salvation that Christ has purchased by his blood upon the cross. God's salvation is an eternal salvation. And every time a believer dies in Christ and leaves this world, leaves this scene of time, that very prayer there of Christ and that verse 24 is being answered. And that prayer will be answered for every redeemed child of God. The prayer of Christ means that every child of God will be safely gathered into heaven. None will be lost. None will be left behind. None will be left outside of heaven's doors. Peter, writing to the Christian in a time of great need, he says that they have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, he says, reserved in heaven for you. And child of God, that's your portion today in Christ, dear believer. Don't let the world rob you of that joy. Don't let false teaching rob you of that joy. Don't let the lie of the devil rob you of that joy. The Lord saves and he keeps his people unto life eternal. Therefore, believer, today you can look forward to heaven. You can look forward to glory. You can look forward to that time when you shall be with Christ forevermore. Well, there'll be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartbreak, no more sickness, no more sorrow. A place of everlasting life. A place of everlasting glory. Turning your Bible over to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And go down to verse number 6 there of Isaiah chapter 42. And whenever the hymn writer Frances Havergill was leaving this world, leaving this scene of time, she asked that this verse be read to her. And that verse, the Lord is speaking. Notice what he says in verse 6 of Isaiah 42. He says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee. When that verse was read to her, she simply and quietly whispered that I'm called, held, and kept. I can go home in that. That is what she did. She went to be with her Savior, with those words ringing in her heart, ringing in her soul. And child of God, can I say, the Lord is still the same. The Lord who has called you, dear believer, he holds you. He holds you in life. He holds us up in life. And believer, he keeps you. And he will keep you and all his children unto life everlasting, till all are safely gathered into the fold of heaven What a Savior we have. One who leads. One who provides. One who protects. One who keeps. Believer, rejoice in Him today. Confide in Him. Live for Him. And be a witness of Him day by day until Christ comes or calls you home to glory. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 580. 580 in the page 410 of your hymn book. The hymn writer says, "Of the Lord a sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound. His grace is the dew shall descend. The walls of salvation surround the soul He delights to defend." 580, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank Thee that as Thy people, Thy word tells us that our lives are hid with Christ and God. We thank that there's no better place to be in the hollow of Thy hand. Help us, Lord, as Your people, to walk with Thee day by day, to go in the way that Thou would have us to go. Help us to depend upon Thee for every need. Help us, Lord, to look forward in faith and with confidence to heaven and glory, and to be a witness, Lord, for Thee and of Christ day by day. For any, Lord, in the meeting today, and they have not this hope, they have no rock, they have no refuge, they have no anchor for their soul. Oh, that today they would flee to Christ for refuge, that they would trust Christ to be their hiding place from the wrath to come, and that they might be wonderfully saved, cleansed by the blood of Christ, and be made ready for heaven. Part us with Your fear and favor. Take us to our homes and safety. Bless us throughout this Thy day. Return us again in Thy will this evening hour. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. And amen.